Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Yes, that line forms on the right, babe. Not that Maggie's back in town.
Don't blame me, blame them.
Look out, old Maggie is back.
Chris McMichael.
Sports Radio.
Yes, sir! Yes, sir! 203 on the fan. McMonagle here with you on this lousy, crummy Wednesday morning. It is Wednesday, isn't it? I have no idea. 888-808-1019. We got Fleegs on the other side. Marco's back there, too. And we got you till 5 o'clock at 888-808-1019. And obviously, a disappointing outing, a disappointing performance, and a disappointing game number one. As the New York Yankees fall to the Boston Red Sox 3-1. A lot to get into. A lot about the opening lineup. A lot about decisions made during the game. I know we want to blame Boone, and I think it's fair to blame him for some things. Some things I don't know. We'll get through it. But let's start with what the main problem is with this game. Let's be totally honest. The main problem is the same thing that has been the main problem for the New York Yankees throughout their postseason history, dating back for forever. The offense didn't come through. Now, yes, it's against a dominant starting pitcher in Crochet. A dominant starting pitcher. One of the best in the game. And particularly against the left-handed pitcher, the Yankee lineup, which we'll get into the different things that they did to start the game. This is not their best lineup. We get it. Whatever the lineup they put forth against the tough lefty, it's a tough matchup. We knew this going in. This is why the New York Yankees wanted to win the division. That's why us Yankee fans were fearful, myself included. As much as I was confident in the series, and guess what? Still am. I always said the toughest matchup for the New York Yankees was a three-game series against the Boston Red Sox. Never hid from it, never changed it. Obvious. Garrett Crochet has now pitched 5 times against the New York Yankees, and you watched him. He is a unbelievably talented pitcher. And he shut this lineup down after in the first inning and the ninth inning against Chapman. That's where they lost this game. We could talk, and we will, about the bullpen decisions that Aaron Boone made. But in the first inning, they get the first two guys on. They get the first two guys on. You get Goldschmidt with a single. You get Judge with a single. They have an opportunity. I know it's cliche. We say it all the time. If you're going to get to a pitcher like Garrett Crochet, if you are going to get to him, you have got to do it early. And they have the first two guys on base. They have Bellinger coming up, the one lefty in the lineup you feel good about, facing another lefty, including, obviously, Crochet. He does nothing. And then Giancarlo Stanton, who, I have to own it, I have talked about the great playoff prowess of Giancarlo Stanton, and I don't think this one game necessarily changes that narrative because he's been so good for so long in so many games, but last night he killed them. Last night he absolutely killed them. He hits into the double play in the first inning, and that was really it. Now, yeah, you get the Volpe home run, and we got to talk about playoff Volpe. But that first inning, and to have the building rocking, knowing that if you can get to him early and give Fried a lead and see if you can put up a crooked number against him early, and to have first and second and then strike out double play from your 3-4 hitters, that was a devastating first inning, and you can feel it. You could feel it. And then I know Volpe gets the home run in the second inning. The Yankees take the lead. Max Fried is dealing in the beginning of the game, and maybe you feel good, but the entire game, I am in the back of my head thinking, one's not going to be enough, and it's clear that this dude's locked in. Clear he's locked in. They had a chance in the first inning and didn't come through. They get the ninth inning. We know what happened in the ninth inning. They get the bases loaded. Three consecutive singles against Chapman, who had to come in and get the final at bat of the eighth. He comes out for the ninth. Fastballs down the middle. Three consecutive singles. Bases loaded. Nobody out. And this offense can't come through. And we'll get to all the different ramifications. And that, and let's not many people have talked about this. The Bednar run that is given up in the ninth is a killer, because that bottom of the ninth is completely different if it's only one run. You pinch run for Goldschmidt there. You probably test Abreu in right field on the fly ball from Jazz to try and score that run. But because it's two runs, you don't pinch run for him. You don't attempt to make that run. There's no point. That entire, the complexion of that entire inning is different with a one-run deficit as opposed to a two-run deficit. That run in the ninth inning was killer. But ultimately, before we get into all the other stuff, let's just make it clear for me what lost this game. It's the same thing that's been losing them games consistently in the playoffs, dating back to the first time they lost to the Boston Red Sox in the postseason, 2003. They did not score. They had two opportunities, and that's all you get sometimes against a great pitcher and against a really good bullpen and a closer like Aroldis Chapman. You get two opportunities in this game to come through, and both times they failed miserably. They failed miserably. Weaver failed miserably. That's where this game is lost. There are questionable decisions made by the manager we're going to get to right now. There are questionable decisions about the lineup we're going to get to right now. But let's just, as we start the open, before we take your calls at 888-808-1019, let me just tell you what I view as the reason they lost this game. They lost this game because the offense had two great opportunities to score runs, and they didn't do it. One run is not going to be enough. It's just not. That's why they lost. Weaver blew the inning. And I know we're going to get to that decision, but Weaver blew the inning. That is not a spot a bullpen guy can come through on. And it's fair to criticize the manager. It's fair to say you want to have the starting pitcher in Max Fried, who's obviously pitching well in this game, to ride with your ace. Absolutely fair. I'll give you my perspective on it. We may differ, but it is a absolute fair second guess. I had it in the moment. We all had it in the moment. Even if you somewhat agreed with it, and I do somewhat agree with it, that is a fair criticism. It doesn't matter. Weaver came in the seventh inning with the 8-9 hitters up and one out and nobody on. He has got to get two outs, let alone none, before giving up two runs. Even giving up one run is acceptable. That's on Weaver. It's on the offense. That is who I blame for this loss last night. Now let's get to everything else. The lineup to start the game. When I saw it, two things jumped out at me. Or really one thing jumped out at me. The one questionable decision in my mind is Jazz Chisholm. That's it. As great as Ben Rice is, and people keep saying it. Like, I hear everybody saying, you got to play your best players. I don't understand. You got to play your best players. Well, you got to do this. You got to play your good. Like, even Keith, I heard callers, you got to play your best players. But, you know, Goldie was good. Yeah. Like, Rice didn't play in this game because Goldschmidt, and for all you old school, you know, number lovers, and you're going to blame analytics for this loss last night, I'm sure.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Goldschmidt hits left hand. I know over the OPS over the last month, Goldschmidt has hit above 300 as a batting average against left-handed pitching this entire season and his entire career. They decided to go with the guy who is they have trusted against left-handed pitching all year long in Goldschmidt, and he rewarded them with two base knocks that set up the two innings that they didn't score in and that I'm blaming the game on. And he also made the play in the seventh inning on the backhand and the toss to Fried to get Duran to start the seventh. I don't think Rice makes that play. So for me, even if you went into it, like, I have no problem playing Goldschmidt, and we saw why. Two base knocks, and he played the better defense and made a play I don't think Rice plays. And you can't catch him, and let's be totally honest. Rice caught Max Fried one time. One time this year, and it was just recently. He trusts Wells behind the plate. He pitched with him all year. You are not going to take away your ace's starting pitcher. I mean, your ace's catcher going into the biggest start of the year. It's hard not to start Wells there. It just is. So we could scream to the heavens that, oh, Rice has got to play. No, he doesn't. As great as he is in this particular spot against this particular pitcher with Max Fried on the mound, no. Wells has to be your catcher, and I have absolutely no problem with Paul Goldschmidt, and he rewarded the manager with two hits and a good defensive play that probably isn't made by Rice. So let's just get there. As great as Rice has been, it's hard to argue that Rice had to be in the lineup. Now, Jazz, Rice has been a platoon player all year, and as the season's gone on, sure, he's earned the right to play more because that's how good he's been offensively. But he has been used to being a platoon player. Jazz Chisholm has not played, you know, he has started every game. He has not been a platoon player. He has been out there pretty much no matter who's on the mound at second base. And we saw after the game, and we'll get to it, and how unhappy he was and, you know, not even facing the media while he was answering the questions about not playing in the game. And you could sense that. You could feel that. You knew Jazz Chisholm, 30-30 guy this year, who has been great 40-40 in the first 162 games of his Yankee career. Like, that was a tough situation to take him out of this lineup. Now, I understand why, because Amed Rosario kind of deserves to play. When you're going up against a pitcher the caliber of Garrett Crochet, the guy who has great numbers who you brought here to go against good left-handed pitching, it's hard not to play him either. We've seen this before, and I know it's a different team, and you can tell me whatever. In the early 2000s, do you remember Enrique Wilson starting every game against Pedro Martinez? Like, he had great numbers against Pedro. He played every game. Aaron Boone knows it very well because his ass was on the bench in the 2003 playoffs, and Enrique Wilson was playing third base because he had great numbers against Pedro Martinez. We have seen this before. Even if it's a short sample size, you know, 6-for-9 with a home run and a double against Garrett Crochet when you're trying to score some runs, it makes sense to play Rosario. Now, what makes it tricky is you don't believe he's a good enough third baseman to play behind Max Fried, so you don't want to put him at third base, but you want to find a spot for him. You don't want to put him in the outfield because you don't think he's that good an outfield defender, and you want to have good defense out and especially left field with Bellinger. Trying to squeeze Rosario into the lineup, while I understand why he did it, and I think we would all, you know, venture to say he probably was the one right-handed bat that you would want to play, even if you wanted McMahon in the lineup, or even if you wanted, like, the one guy that you could understand them going to has been Rosario. And if you've watched him with the Yankees, he has hit left-handed pitching really well, and he's come up in every big spot and come through. And, of course, in this game, he does not, but I could understand it. But the not playing Jazz is a tough one. And now that with hindsight and the amount of tough plays that actually went to third base, which weren't many, you probably could have got away with playing Rosario at third for McMahon and just leave it at that. And leave in Jazz, play Rosario at third for McMahon, and just say, you know what, I'm going offense. I'm going defense with my catcher because I need that for my ace. And as many ground balls might be hit at third base, I get it. I'm going to make a decision and go offensive and play Rosario. And if you were going to do that, that's probably now in hindsight the way to go about it, because not having Jazz in the lineup was very tough. Now let's get to the other issues I had a main problem with before we get to the talking point of the bullpen. One of the real bad decisions that Boone made in this game, really the one that is just absolutely disastrous for me, and I heard a caller bring it up. You cannot take out, after the seventh inning and Rosario's final at bat of that inning, you know you're going to see, if that spot in the lineup gets up again, it's in the ninth against Chapman. Why would you go to Rosario? Why would you take out Rosario and put Jazz in for defense to try and keep one run, a one-run game? And I get it. That's what he was thinking. He's thinking, we're only up one run. I can't let it get to two. I mean, we're down one run. I can't let it get to two. I got to put my best team in there. Rosario just made the last out. Let me put Jazz at second base. He's a better defender. That comes up and kills them in the ninth inning. Kills them in the ninth inning. Because as much as we like Jazz, a cold Jazz for his first at bat against Chapman in that spot is not what you want. Rosario against a left-handed pitcher like that is a much better situation. A much better situation. It made no sense in that moment to go defense in the eighth inning and take out Rosario and put in Jazz. It killed them in the ninth. It killed that rally in the ninth. That decision was dumb. You could have, I probably would have played Jazz. I would have, it's tough not to have both Jazz and Rice not in the lineup. And I understand why you can't play Rice. But you can't put Jazz back in if you're going to take him out and set up what you know you're going to need to score runs in the ninth. And you put up a situation where against Chapman, you give him a left-handed hitter in that spot. Brutal. That's a bad mistake for Aaron Boone. That is a bad mistake for Aaron Boone. That one I have a real problem with. It's just, it doesn't make any sense. You allow Chapman, after he strikes out Giancarlo, which again, Giancarlo killed him in this game. After he strikes out Giancarlo, you allow him to have lefty-lefty there. And you didn't put Slater on the roster, so you don't even have someone you could pinch hit for. You decided to keep Ascara instead of keeping Slater, or you decided to add Blackburn instead of putting on Slater, and you don't even have anyone you could pinch hit for. That was a terrible mistake. Now let's get to the obvious bullpen decision. I want to make it clear. I am not saying that you had to pull Max Fried in that spot. Going batter to batter with Max Fried in the seventh inning would have made plenty of sense. This is all I'm saying. I'm saying that is on Weaver. He was not put in a position to fail. And going into this, as John Flaherty said in the postgame, as Michael Kay's killing the decision, and listen, I get it. Michael Kay's killing the decision. John Flaherty mentions it. Weaver is a guy they have to trust if they're going to win. In that spot, he has to get those outs. And the one thing that's unfair to me is everybody pointing to Garrett Crochet and saying, look, the Red Sox and Cora stuck with Crochet for 117 pitches. He didn't rush to take him out. That's what a real manager. Let me say something. The difference between the innings from the third inning on, nobody reached base for the Yankees. Garrett Crochet retired 17 batters in a row. 17 in a row, including a six-pitch seventh inning. And the second Volpe gets on, he allows him to face Wells, and then he gets him out of there. It's not like he's finished. What if Chapman came in and after allowing Volpe to get the second base because he threw over three times, gives up a base hit to Caballero? Are we killing Cora for not leaving Crochet in there to finish the eighth? He threw 17 consecutive outs. They didn't even get a guy on base from Anthony Volpe's home run on. Meanwhile, as great as it was to continue to put up zeros from the ace in Max Fried, who pitched brilliantly in this game, who pitched great in this game, who got out of every single jam, but he got into a jam in every inning, whether it's because the umpire was squeezing him and he wasn't getting that call on the outside corner. But as you were going through this game, every inning as the Yankees were up, I was comfortably in my chair just going up, and I'm scoring the game because I'm scoring the game. Up, strikeout. Up, ground ball to second base. Up, no. Next inning. And while the Yankees are pitching, I've got my heart in my throat because every single inning, Max Fried is forced to throw high-intensity pitches to get out of a jam in every single inning. He gets a runner on the third, two in the fourth, two in the fifth, has to get the double play in the sixth. They bring him back out to get Duran. He gets Duran. And then he goes, instead of going batter to batter, and here's my only problem with going batter to batter. We talk about how we don't trust the bullpen. And yeah, because hindsight's 20/20, Max Fried would have stayed in there, and he would have got the next two outs. It would have been real easy. And then, of course, Devin Williams would have pitched great, and Bednar would have pitched great, and the Yankees would have won 1-0. I know. Max Fried allowed a base runner in every inning since the third. Max Fried allowed base runners with two outs in consecutive innings. The last thing I want in that spot, the very last, is for Max Fried to put on runners and then go to my bullpen for the top of the Boston Red Sox order with runners on. That's the last thing I want. Boone gave the bullpen and gave Weaver one out, nobody on, the 8-9 hitters up. We can argue it. You can make a very strong case. Hey, he makes $30 million a year. He's the ace. You got to stick with him until the wheels fall off. If the wheels fall off, I have zero faith in the bullpen getting out of a jam with runners on and the top of the Red Sox order coming up. Zero. Nobody on, one out. Weaver needs to get two outs. That's the bottom line. We can quibble about whether or not it was a smart move. I'm not trying to stamp my foot and say you had to take him out, you had to bring in Weaver. I understand why you want to lean on your ace. I do. But I feel a hell of a lot worse about this bullpen with runners on, and Fried put runners on in every inning since the third. Every inning. But this inning, of course, would have been clean. If I'm going batter to batter with him, I don't like the idea of going to Weaver with runners on, or Cruz with runners on, who came in and walked a guy, or Devin Williams with runners on, who walked the first batter on four pitches. I want to give the bullpen the best chance to succeed. There's a fine line between riding with your ace, which I get, and also giving your bullpen the best chance to succeed. And the best chance to succeed is with nobody on and one out. The bottom line is, he needs to be successful in that spot. Bottom line. And let's be honest. I know if they don't win this game and they don't win this series, there's no ALDS and there's no ALCS and there's no World Series. I get it. There is no tomorrow now. But if Weaver can't be trusted to get those outs, what are they winning? Because you're not going to be happy with a wild card. I'm not going to be happy with a wild card. That's not enough. They have to win the whole damn thing. And if they're going to go through this American League playoff and into the World Series and take on the likes of the Phillies or the Dodgers, the idea that Weaver can't pitch in the seventh is going to make it very difficult. One out, nobody on, get the freaking outs. There were mistakes made in this game, and now it sounds like, obviously, Jazz isn't happy, and Boone's going to have to figure that out because he has to get him happy. He has to get him productive and in the right frame of mind for tonight's game. And let me just end with this on the open before we get to your calls at 888-808-1019. This series isn't over. I said it yesterday. I'll say it again. Last night was a more important game. I know they're all important. Game one, we've shown t- talked to about. Everyone's one game one. This would have to be the first time ever of a game one winner to lose the series if the Yankees are going to continue. So I'm not saying the game wasn't important for the Yankees. Clearly was. But I felt like it's more important for the Red Sox. They could not afford to lose the Crochet start with a pitching matchup that favors the Yankees in the next two, including game three, if it gets there, where they might be throwing a bullpen game for all we know. Or a young kid in early who would be making, you know, his playoff debut, obviously. And I don't know if I think they just called him up. I think it would be his major league debut. I believe that's the case. Double check that for me. Early pitched a bunch this year, right? Then they just called him up from the minors, though, I read. Doesn't matter. Maybe they sent him down after pitching earlier in the season, right? Okay, I'm sorry. But obviously making his playoff debut and just being called up from the minors for this series. So, like, the Yankees are still in a position here for September starts. Okay. The Yankees are still in a good position. Rodon has been great. They've won 18 games with him on the mound. He's pitched good starts the last two times he's faced the Boston Red Sox. They win this game. If the Yankee offense can wake up, hit Bello, score some runs, Rodon does what he does, they win this game, they have the better pitching matchup for the third game of the series. The series is not over. It's one game. It's a frustrating loss. There were definitely mistakes made. Questionable decisions in the lineup, questionable decisions from Aaron Boone. One decision I don't think is questionable at all. I think it's just a hideous one in bringing Jazz Chisholm into the game and allowing that spot to come up in the ninth. It's frustrating, but it ain't over. It's one game. And I'm crazy. I still feel confident. I've seen them pitch well against this Red Sox team. Max Fried, the lefty, just pitched well against this team. I think Carlos Rodon's going to go out there and pitch well tomorrow. This series is not over. Man, oh man, the reaction, like, it's not over. It's a frustrating loss, no doubt. And there are talking points to be had about this game, and it's frustrating that they were up 1-0 and they had opportunities, bases loaded, nobody out in the ninth, and they can't come through. They got their playoff guy up with the bases loaded, nobody out. And I thought the killer of that at bat from Stanton was the little half a check. It wouldn't even been questioned whether or not it was a check swing or not. And it just, on a pitch, 100-mile-an-hour fastball up out of the zone, just hits the bat for a strike one instead of ball one. I thought that killed the at bat for Stanton. But they've got to come through in those moments, man. You can't have bases loaded. And Bednar needs to not give up a run. I feel like that's going to be because the game was already blown with Weaver. If Bednar doesn't give up a run, that ninth inning is completely different. You're able to pinch run for Goldschmidt with obviously the Martian. You can pinch run with Dominguez. And then when the bases loaded at third, maybe you try and tag up to tie the game on that short fly ball from Jazz. That inning is completely different, only down one as opposed to down two. The bullpen failed them. The manager, I suppose you could say, failed them. He didn't help them. And the offense failed them. And they better get it together for tomorrow because obviously this will be the end. 888-808-1019. Let's get to a call quick before we take the break. Let's get you guys involved here. We got you till 5 o'clock. Freddie in California. What's up, Freddie?
Freddie from Tampa, Florida.
Oh, I'm sorry. Anyways, I said California. What'd I say?
You said Tampa. Well, Tampa, Florida. Listen, I agree with what you're saying. What's a perfect storm, right, in baseball, right? You're in the ninth inning, right? Nobody out. Bases loaded, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this is what happens in the ninth inning. Luke Weaver wasn't hiding nothing. He looked like the city of Troy when they killed the wrong Achilles. And they were writing him off. I mean, it looked like he couldn't find no strike zone. I'm not saying Major League Baseball pitchers are scared, but he looked very scared. And if today somebody, a coach, dies on his sword, it could be Aaron Boone, okay?
But well, I got to tell you. I'm not sure exactly what you're talking about, but let me just say this about Aaron Boone. He needs to win this series. I don't disagree. I will tell you, I don't necessarily think he did anything crazy with taking out Fried. I don't think it was that crazy. You can make a case to leave him in, of course. I'm not an idiot. You can make a case to keep in Fried, a strong case. With the previous, he lost control of the outside corner. There was multiple pitches in those fourth, fifth, and sixth innings where he could not find the outside corner. All game he was, those last couple of innings, he was making non-competitive pitches trying to hit the outside corner on right-handed batters. He lost a little bit of his command. He was in jams every single inning from the fourth, fifth, and sixth. He got that out, 102 pitches. Weaver's got to get those outs. That's how I feel. But that's not to say that there's something to be said about every time he makes a decision, or a lot of times he makes decisions in these games, they turn out to be the wrong ones, even if I can justify them. Like, bottom line are results. It's a results business. When he decides to involve himself and make decisions, they happen to tend to blow up in his face in these playoff games. I can't argue that. This decision, whether I can defend it all day long, it blew up in their face and cost them the game. It's why they lost. Weaver in that spot is why they lost. You might put more of the blame on the manager for putting him in the spot, putting Weaver in the spot. I'll blame more about Weaver for just blowing it up in that spot. It doesn't matter. Weaver was in that spot, and that cost them the game. So ultimately, it's a results business. And the New York Yankees, I'll still say this, are a better roster, a better team, had the better regular season. That's why they're playing the games at home. They shouldn't be even in this position. They should have won the division. But if they lose this wild card to the Boston Red Sox at home, and I deem them to be the better team, and I think the Yankees, I'm sure in the front office, feel they're the better team, like, at some point, Aaron Boone has to win, no matter how many excuses or reasons I find to not blame him. Like, that's just the bottom line. The bottom line is he has to win. And whether or not I can find excuses aren't the right word, because I honestly believe what I'm saying. Whether I can find reasons or not why I'm not going to kill bringing in Weaver, it doesn't matter. That decision cost them the game. And it's eventually, he's got to push the right buttons and get them over the hump, because this team's good enough to win this series. Aaron Boone needs to win the next two games. I don't think there's any doubt. And if he doesn't, I will be here on the radio telling you, it's more than fair and more than willing, and maybe what should happen is Aaron Boone loses his job. I don't know. I certainly won't tell you on the radio here that he can't or that he shouldn't. How can I? He's got to win. He's got to win. This team's good enough to win this series. They got to win these next two games. 888, and I still think they can.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.